Dwi'n am y podcast e. Cwestiwn fi o'n cyfeirio. Cat o'r gwrta. And I met my guy fishing. Hi guys, I'm Gem and welcome to Questy Gem's podcast. So, this week has been hard. It's been busy, it's been hectic, it's been very slow at the beginning. And then it's all sped up. And today has been the first day where I felt like I haven't been hounded or I felt like I haven't been having to go here and everywhere. So, in my last episode, I talked about the diagnosis. And up until that point, I was told that if it were in my chest, there was nothing they could do. I had to sit with that for an amount of time, about a week, and I questioned, okay, I'm not going to be able to see next Christmas or next Halloween, and I thought, wow, this is a whole week of sitting and simmering, and thinking, where does that lead me? What am I supposed to do? So, I got called by a consultant to write down questions so that I can ask my oncologist, who is a cancer doctor, everything. All the questions I wanted to ask. Up until that point, I was told, okay, you have cancer on your tongue and in your lymph nodes on your neck. You have, it started on your tongue and it has spread. Then I discovered that when I had an x-ray and got told the result, I found out I was here in my chest. It was only in two parts. So that was it. I thought, okay, if it's in two parts, I can fight this thing. Let me at it. That's how I want. I want to get this out of me. I want my life back. I want my body back. So I was looking at this picture on the screen. I said to my consultant, can I take a picture? He let me. I mean, it is my picture, but hey. I took a picture because I want to print it out. Put it on a board in my bedroom. And think, alright, I'm going to kill you. It's me or you, and I'm going to kill you. You don't belong here. So, that's my plan. And my plan going forward with the podcast is, as long as I can talk, I'm going to try and hit record and take you on the journey with me. So, my first consultant said to me, okay, so here's where we're at. We're going to have a feeding tube put in because where you have chemotherapy, you can get ulcers in your mouth. And what will happen is it might be too hard to swallow. So you have a feeding tube put in. I thought, oh my god. And he said, you have chemotherapy and radiotherapy. Chemotherapy will be for 5 days a week. I thought, oh god. Okay. Any questions? I went, no, I think that's alright. You know, I think I'm good. So, I ended up taking to another room and get told that I've got to have a scan and get of my head for radiotherapy. This mesh stuff to go on your face, and I've got to book up for another blood test. And I thought, oh, don't we just love the blood test? I mean, lead me to the chair, you know? So I came out of there and I was exhausted. And every time where I have chronic fatigue syndrome, here's the thing, I have had my health conditions. My life up until this point has been trying to handle symptoms. And my body has been, whoa. I've got fibromyalgia, migraine, endometriosis, and chronic fatigue syndrome. That's four conditions. My body then looks at the cancer and says, what, you're new? You think, what, you're going to come in and take over? So, it's a lot. Anyway, when I came home, I was very open about it. I said to my family, if you have any questions, because we're in this together, if you have any questions whatsoever, let me know. I can write them down and I can ask a consultant and figure this out. My brother had one or two, but it was more for me because I wanted to know practically, like, you know, if I'm on regular therapy, will my neck get red? Will that hurt? I'm wearing scarves at the moment because it helps to keep the cold air out, and also it helps that no one looks at a bump, or as my mum calls it, a pob. It helps me feel more like me. And so I thought, okay, if I'm not wearing a scarf, can I wear a cotton one? I need to feel like I've got more me. I need to feel like them. I'm not cancer. Even though when I found out, I was like, as I walked out of a hospital, I was like, oh, look out, here comes cancer girl. But I'm them. And cancer is something separate. So when I looked at this, I thought, okay, I'm a podcaster. I've done interviews. I've interviewed celebrities. I've interviewed a lot of people. And I thought, I'm going to come at this in that way. I don't know if it's a protective thing. Like, in my head, like, okay, here's how we're going to do it. But I thought, no, this is how we're going to do it. I thought, right, I don't really want to interview you on this, but I'm going to ask you questions and find out. So I can't assume that it's up until this point. I've written down bullet points, but I thought, no, I want some of the power back. I want to know certain things. I want it in my own documentation and say, okay, I know what this means, I know what this means. So I wrote it down, and this past Tuesday, I went and I met your oncologist. That was a really, really long evening, and oh my God, it put me out. I've never seen so many people in a waiting room, and my appointment was an hour late, and I hadn't eaten much, because during the day, when I have Klopfenstein syndrome, I rest. So I had to have something, had my breakfast, had some lunch, had a rest, and then went. I thought I'd be home about 4:30. I didn't get home until about 5:30, 6:00. And even though I don't live far from a hospital, it was exhausting. So when I went up there, I had questions, and I thought, right, I just need to know all the answers I can. I don't want to be in there that long. I just want to know A, B, and C, and know when are we going to start treatment. I don't know what I'm getting myself in for, but I know I want to fight this thing. So I went in, and the consultant said, you know what you have? I went, yeah. One thing I am hating, one is they call me Gemma. My name's not Gemma, it's Gem. Well, that's one thing that is annoying to me. And the other thing is that they say, you're cancer or you have cancer. In my head, I don't know if it's denial or if it's like a protective thing, but in my head, it's like, I'm not owning this because I don't want it here. In my head, as soon as the chemotherapy starts, I want this thing gone and I want this out of my life. I want my life and my body back. And I really don't want to own it and take it on. And I'm living with it. But it's more like, basically, F you, you're going. So I was sat there and I was saying to this man about, you know, how I'm feeling. They keep on asking me if I have a supportive family. I say, yeah, I've got a supportive family and a supportive network. He asked me if I lost any weight. I've lost a little bit. But it's reflecting the fact that the season's changing as well. You know. There was also some guy kissing during the ring. And he said to me, why didn't you come here sooner? Because really, your cancer is, it's advanced. I sat there, I don't know if it's the way he said it, but I sat there and I went, every month before I have my period, I get a spot on my tongue. Maybe it's because I fancy sweet things, perhaps that's what it is. But I got a spot on my tongue. It turned into a patch, and I thought my body was just going to react to it. I thought my body was seething. Then I saw a lymph node. I thought, okay, and it got worse. And it was him. I saw you. I said, I contacted my GP. I sent him a letter. I got fobbed off. I sent him an email of a picture. Nobody got me in and said, please do make an urgent appointment. All I got told was, oh, please see a nurse. There was no urgency there. I went, I got fobbed off. I said, in day-to-day life, you hear about breast cancer, bowel cancer, all these other cancer. I don't know what I'm looking for. How can you fight what you don't know about? He then said he was going to add that to a list. I don't know what that means. But I, since I was told I have it, I got told it's caused by HPV virus. I felt like they were calling me sexually promiscuous. I never have been. I was slept with one guy. I don't have what they call a huge body count. I was slept with one guy, and it's like, you know, it's a lot. You kind of feel like a finger of blame is pointing at you a little bit. And then I found out it is caused by a virus, but it's really dormant. But again, there's no awareness of how you're supposed to know. So, the doctor told me I was going to start chemotherapy first, and that was it. I went, what radiotherapy? He said, no. I went, I got cold. I would have chemotherapy and radiotherapy at the same time, and a feeding tube put in. He went, no, we're going to, where my cells, my cancer, I can't even pronounce the word that you use. I don't want to give it a name because, like I said in the previous episode, I don't want to give it power. But the name of this cancer, it's basically cells and they're travelling through my lymph nodes. And so they're hoping by using chemotherapy that will kill it. So the feeding tube now isn't going to happen, and radiotherapy isn't going to happen. What will happen though, the chemotherapy is on a 3-week cycle. And with that, apparently going, you have it for 5 hours in one day, and you come home, and that's it for 3 weeks. But I don't understand the rest of it, because every time I talk to a doctor, I get told something different. So right now, at this moment in time, that's all I know. But it's been very, very hard. I've been stressed. Last night, I was hardly sleep, so I was stressed. And what with the weather, my bump's been playing up. I've been trying to eat, because I know, like, I met a dietitian. One of them said to me about my tongue and that it's quite impressive I can still eat and talk. And in fact, you can understand what I'm saying. As a podcaster and a former radio presenter, that's been one of my worries. I don't want to lose my ability to talk. I mean, who does? But when she said that, I was like, yeah, you know, I said to my consultant, I can still swallow pills, I can eat. I eat on one side of my mouth because where my cancer is on my tongue is raised a little bit. It's annoying, but I'm hoping when the chemo starts, my tongue will go down and lymph flow will go down as well. But up until this point, it's been a lot, as you might imagine. When I was in the appointment, I decided to put my mum on the phone. And I said to the doctor, I interrupted him. And I said, do you mind if I ring my mum and put her on loudspeaker? And I'll be honest with you, that helped. I felt like I had a shield. I felt like my mum was in the room with me. My mum, like, knows everything. My whole family does. Sorry, my earphone's coming out. But my whole family knows everything. and we're kind of moving as one through this. There's no, we literally don't have a blueprint for this. There's no map. We're being told A, B, and C, but it's not coming in order. But it seems at this moment in time, it seems appointments, and we're kind of going through one. It's like a game. One appointment done, another appointment done. So we're going through this. We want the chemotherapy to start, but between you and me, I'm bricking it a bit. I don't know what I'm getting myself into, but I'm mentally going through it as I'm going to deal with the symptoms if and when they come. I have fatigue already because of chronic fatigue syndrome, but I want to fight this thing. And at the moment, I'm not. I'm trying to keep my body going and trying to keep my weight up, but I can't fight it because I don't have any help yet. So the dietitian, I met them on Tuesday as well, and they're going to give me these little milkshakes. You take one a day, and they're through prescription. And so what happens, when I feel like I feel a little bit underweight, a little bit thin, because I'll be honest, I've lost a tiny bit of weight, a little bit, not much. But I have been more active lately, you know, with all these appointments. But I have a milkshake, and with that, I have one a day, and that's supposed to help boost me up a little bit. And the dietitian said, eat things that have butter in them. So basically, they've kind of given me free license to eat what I want. What's weird about this is that now it's November, the Christmas adverts are coming out, and when I was sat with the lawyers, I might have to have a feeding tube, I thought, I'm not gonna have the same experience this year. I won't be able to have keen sweets. I won't be able to have a roast. I won't be able to have mince pies. A part of the Christmas experience, I'll have a present part and being around decorations and of course hearing the music. But yeah. Other 50% that makes up Christmas, I won't have. And I thought, wow, if I have a feeding tube as well, I'm going to have to, like, use my my personality a little bit and be like, okay, so I can't have Weetabix in the morning. Other cereals are available. But, okay, pour in this formula, I assume. Okay, here's my Weetabix. Oh, what are we having for lunch? Okay, we're pouring this. And, I'm eating formula, but thankfully, at the moment, that's not happening. So, last night I had my first mince pie. With my tongue, it was a bit of a maneuver because it was crumbling. It went underneath my tongue. But it was fine. Had that, and like I said, I'm just trying to concentrate on eating myself and keeping myself weighed up. But I have an appointment coming up that I have to put in. I have to make an appointment for a scan. I want to see what's happening in my stomach. When I took the x-ray was like a CT scan. A massive donut, and it had to put an injection in me. It didn't like that, as you might imagine. And it had like this a warm liquid. You lay there, a machine tells you what to do. So it says breathe in and hold it. Breathe normally. And one minute you have your arms up, the next minute you have your arms down. And when the imagery came back, I thought, okay. But it didn't take any of my lower down abdomen. He wants to see what's happening down there. The only thing it says is endometriosis. But we're living in a time where there's not much cure for endometriosis and there's not much treatment for it. And it's like, okay, in my head, it's like, I wish they would stop looking at other things and concentrate on his cancer. Because I would, as soon as we get the cancer gone, I'm free. I'm fine. I'm back to how I was. But I have to book in a scan. Where we're at the moment, though, on Monday, I have to go up and have what's known as a PICC line. PICC. So, potato, ink, cat, cat. And after in the morning, I'm basically going to have wires attached to my arm. And I joked with my mum yesterday, I am going to become a human blow up girl. I mean, I have to have that put in. And that's going to help me take the IV for the chemotherapy. And also, when I have to have x-rays, it will help me take that. Because when you have thin veins like me and they're fragile, it hurts. And you end up being bruised afterwards. So what will happen with that is they have to use an ultrasound to find a vein. And I put in this thing. It kind of goes into my main artery. And I have three little wire things coming down, like three little pipes. So I have like that in the majority of the time whilst I have chemotherapy. So we're now waiting an appointment to have chemo. I would rather have it done in me so that I can then concentrate on being like, okay, I mean, I don't know what to expect, but I'm like, all right, it's done. Oh, let me fight back. Come on. It's like, this isn't fun. Even when I look in the mirror, I'm judging myself and thinking, is it me I'm looking at? Am I pale? Am I losing weight? Do I look ill? And it's not a fun place to be. But one of the great things is that my mum has had cancer. And she beat the little shit. So for me, I'm like, all right, my mum's been there and she's showing me a way. And I have support from you guys as well, and I'm doing these episodes to support other cancer sufferers too. And I'm hoping that I've never been here before. It's like, I don't want to be here again. I want to survive this and get out of it. It's like being at a really sick party. You don't know anyone here, and you're like, I want to go home now. But I've got to get through Monday, but the appointment's in the morning, and hopefully I can come home and rest. Yesterday, I had to buy a sleeve, like an arm warmer thing, from Amazon. And that's like, stop the line, the PICC line, from getting wet, because otherwise you can get infected. They say yesterday that when you put the PICC line in, they can give you a sleeve. I'm hoping they do. It's going to freak me out a bit and annoy me if I've got like these things sitting against my arm as I walk around and stuff. But that's where we're at the moment. Today would be the first day I felt more like me. I've uploaded a podcast. This is that for my Twitter. It's at Radio Zem, if you want to find me on Twitter. But it's been nice to actually be able to breathe. I wanted to come up for air. Yesterday, I actually said this on my Twitter. I felt hounded. When I woke up yesterday, I felt like whacked out from a day before. And I thought, okay, I'm going to have a day where I just want to knit. I know it sounds weird. I just want to sit at home. I'm getting a scarf at the moment. It's like a Halloween type one, the black and purple. And I want to sit at home and just be me for a day. And it's like, come on. And today is now Thursday. And I've got 3 days left until I have a PICC line put in. Next week on a Thursday, I have my dentist appointment. Because of like mouth ulcers happening with chemotherapy, I want to make sure there's nothing in my mouth that will make it worse. I'm hoping the appointment goes well and it don't handle me too much because my jaw hurts and my tongue is sensitive. But I'm hoping I'm in and out. Both of the appointments in the morning, I'm hoping they're kind of happen what they're done. But today has been the first day I felt a bit more like me after I've come up for air. And yesterday my phone was buzzing and beeping. I ended up in tears and I felt so overwhelmed. And I thought, I feel like you're hounding me. Never in a day have I had three voicemails from one hospital saying, can we make an appointment? Can we make an appointment? I know it's there and they say about being a part of a cancer team, but in my head, my team is my family. When you get up to the hospital, I kind of just want the chemo in to just think it's going to kill it. And it's like, you kind of feel a little bit like the control's being taken away. But the only way I'm thinking is to say, I'm just going to go from one appointment to the other. So we're kind of going to get through this. I think maybe when the chemo starts, it might be different. But we'll see. But at the moment, I've come up for air and I feel a bit more calmer. I haven't cried yet, something, but yeah, it's a lot. And my normal life is looking like more further and further away. But I remember my younger brother texting me, I think it was on Tuesday before I went to the appointment. I remember him saying he wishes to go back to normal. And when I was in the waiting room, I thought, that's what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for my normal. I want my normal back. I know I'm in a new routine, but I didn't ask for this. I don't like it. I want my life back. And with every appointment I'm going to, I kind of think, okay, I'm not a chemotherapy stage yet, but come on, you know? So, yeah, that's where I'm at the moment. It's a lot, but what's helping is sharing it and being like, okay, it might help someone else out, hopefully. But at least I can still be me. I can still be Gem the podcaster. And that to me is, it's important. So, for now, I love you and use you. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, let me know on Twitter. Just comment underneath the cover art of this episode. And I'll hopefully speak to you again very soon. I'm going to keep on recording for as long as I can talk. But yeah, I'll keep you updated. I'm Jem. Thank you so much for listening. Hitting rock bottom. Everly is admitted to the psych unit. Can things get any worse? At the height of her despair, sunlight peeks through the thick, overcast skies. It's on that awful hospital unit. She meets two of the most wonderful men. Both are willing to do whatever it takes to win her heart. The inspirational romance, written by Marjorie Joseph. Depression and Wishes. Paperback available on Amazon and Gem's Inktree. Welcome to Quirky Gems Podcast. It's great to have you here. Join me, Gem Swallow, every Friday as I talk happiness and living life to the fullest. I talk about what I try and what I come across, along with mindset and motivation, health and fitness. That's Quirky Gems Podcast every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts. Get involved on Twitter. It's at Radio Gem.